I'm glad to be here tonight, aren't you? I'll tell you what I want you to do this evening. I feel led of the Lord to ask you to do. I want you to bow your head for just a moment. I want you, while your head is bowed, search your heart and say, God, why am I here tonight? No, it's not because it's revival and church night, but God's got a reason for you being here this evening. Search yourself this evening. Father, I know there's a reason for each one of us being here tonight. Oh, and I know you're the kind of God that will speak to us, and we're the kind of people that will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God, I believe there's people that arrived in this service tonight with needs in their life that only you can meet. And I believe this evening, Lord, is the time. This is the very hour that the Spirit of God wants to draw people to Himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for your rich blessings today, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Now you should know why you're here tonight. I know why I'm here. I know what God wants me to do this evening. God has not brought me here for any other purpose than to be a blessing and a help and encouragement. And I trust that before this revival is closed, before tomorrow night comes, that you found something that has stirred your spirit. I don't mean something that's blessed you, something that I've said that you really liked, but I pray that something is said that will stir something in you, that talent, that gift that you have, God will make you realize, I've given this to you that others can be blessed by. Now listen to me, I'm not talking about you playing the piano, the guitar, singing a special song, but I'm talking about you fulfilling that place in God that God has for you in this church. And believe me, you may not teach a Sunday school class, you may never stand on the platform, I don't know, but I'm here to tell you God's got a place for you in the church. And no one can fill your place but you. How many of you realize that? No one can do what you do in the service. I mean, if it's come and sit on the pew, and you may seem like you're adding nothing to it, but I'm here to tell you there's a blessing in God in store for you. And I believe this, that in due time you'll do more than just come and sit on the pew. I believe you'll find your place in God. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis. The third chapter. I want you to pray for me this evening. I have really fought the devil this day with a very sore throat. But I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. It had been real easy for me to call the pastor and said, Pastor, you're going to have to preach. My throat's sore. But the Lord gave me a message for you. I'm not saying Brother Walpler couldn't have preached it. He just couldn't have understood what I wanted to say. His heart hadn't been burdened with this, see. So you pray for me this evening. I sincerely mean that. I want you to, before we read the scripture, let's pray together and you ask the Lord to touch me tonight. Father, I believe that you're God that's aware of our needs physically this evening. And Lord, I'm asking you for a healing touch of the Master's hand in this moment of time. Lord, we're not admitting to the enemy in any way that we have the physical problem, but we're bringing this physical problem to you tonight. And believing you that you will completely heal and make whole. For we ask it in the precious, loving name of Jesus Christ. And everyone that agreed said amen. Praise the Lord. One thing a preacher can't afford, and that's a sore throat. I can't. We were coming down as we were driving down. This is one thing that I prayed. I prayed for myself. I said, Lord, Help me that my voice remains strong all week. Don't let the devil in any way stop me. And I'm amazed how each night the Lord has just blessed. And I was praying out here last evening before service and this evening before service. And I was thanking God, and God spoke to me, "Haven't I sustained you?" And I said, "You sure have, Lord, and I owe you all that I have and all that I am, that you've touched me and you've given me strength." I made mention of last night how the enemy attacked me while I was preaching, but your prayers, you touched God for me last night. You that prayed, you touched God for me, and I owe the praise. Bumper, if we went another week, we'd probably have to start all over. The crowds are getting smaller. I'd pray they'd get larger, you know. Hey, but some way people wear out. I wonder what people do in 4 years of revival. Did you know they're going into fourth year in Florida? 4 years of revival. Somebody said, "Well, somebody didn't go every night." I know a preacher, two preachers that went every night. I don't know about anybody else. But thank you for being here every night. Thank you for your offerings, your kind support, and braving this cold weather that you braved getting here tonight. Thank the Lord for you. I sincerely mean that. I don't say that you brought an offering of finances. If you haven't given a dime in the offerings, thank God for you. I sincerely mean that. The Lord that was anointing me one night, and I made a statement. And in the statement that I was making, I said this: "You're welcome to come to this church if you never put a dime in the offering." Because I knew, Sister Wumper, if they came, the Spirit of the Lord will touch them and they'll start giving. I know that. When people get saved, they give. Somebody shout on that one. And that man that night that was in our church that had given his heart to God, he told me the next day, he said, "I will be a member of this church." And he said, "I'm going to tell you why I'm going to be a member of this church." He said, "Because you stood in front of me last night and told me I didn't have to give a dime to this church to be a member of the church." I said, "You don't. But I believe God's going to touch you." And he did. He did. They became faithful supporters. The Lord spoke to her one morning and one day, and they went to the grocery store, spent $300 and how many dollars? I don't remember, $360, something like that, on groceries. Came to our house, a pickup load of groceries. Can you imagine that? To our house, the man went in, he opened the pantry, and his wife opened the cabinet, and they just started stacking that stuff in there and done such a neat job. Can you imagine how God takes care of us and blesses us? You know, we don't have to ask for a thing in the Lord. The Lord supplies our need, doesn't he? Third chapter of Genesis, verse 22. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God set him forth from the garden to till the ground from which he was taken." Verse 24 starts this way: "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." I want to preach to you this evening using this for a thought or a subject: living in the shadow of Eden. I read this scripture and my mind goes to the times when God set a man in the midst of a garden. God planted this thing himself. God gave man the perfect place to be. And God said, "I put you there because I love you. I put you there not just to sit there and not just to do anything, but I've put you there to tend the garden and to take care. And I want you to know that in the cool of the day, I'm going to come down to you and my voice is going to converse with you. and your heart is going to grow to the time that you're going to love the times when I come and visit with you. And I don't know how long this situation went on, but in the cool of the day, the voice of the Lord came and it visited with Adam. And the time came that they separated themselves from God. The time came, you know, when they ate of that forbidden fruit and God said, you can't do it, and they did. The time came when the voice of the Lord came in the garden again, and the voice of the Lord cried out to Adam, where are you? Where are you? And Adam said, Lord, I was naked and I hid myself. And from that moment on, that conversation and that communication with God was severed. And I read to you the scripture here today where the Lord said, because man has come like one of us, we can't afford to leave him here. So he took man and removed him from the very place, the paradise that God had given him. And he said, you'll leave this place, you'll till the soil, and never again will you be here. And he put cherubims on the eastern gate and said, you can't come back to this place. So Adam and his wife went out and they began to till the land. They began to till the gardens and grow their food and do what was necessary. But I thought, as God began to speak to me about this scripture, it was a sad thing. It was a sad day. Because I believe that in time Adam and Eve could take a walk in the cool of the day and they could walk by that place that they once enjoyed. They couldn't go inside anymore, see? They lost their privileges. But they could walk by and say, oh, I remember the times. Listen to me, saints of God, you can believe this statement. I believe there's people that are backslidden today that were once time on fire for God, men that were on boards, people that led singing in churches, people that led in the church and taught Sunday school classes, that drive by the churches today. And I believe something grips their spirit and their heart and says, don't you remember when? I believe they may walk by your church in the cool of the day and the voice of God speaks to them and the hand of God grips their heart, and they said, I remember when. I'm telling you today, there's a world of people out there, remember when they knew God. I thought, as the family grew, Adam and Eve's family grew, I could just see those little boys running in one day and saying, Dad, what is that down the field on the other side of the pasture over there? When I walk by, I see a cherubim standing there with a flame of fire in his hand, and he's turning every way, keeping people out. And they come in and say, Dad, what is that? What does that mean? Oh, I believe he could tell them some stories that would stir their spirit. Oh, boys, let me tell you, that was a place where we used to go. That was a place where we met God. Let me tell you what we found there. And he began to reminisce. I'm telling you, there's people sitting on church pews tonight that are reminiscing blessings and touches of God that they used to have, but they've turned themselves outside. They're living in the shadow of Eden today. God help and God forbid that we as people today would ever in our life turn our back on the thing that God has blessed this church with and settle for something that's second best in any way. Can you shout with me tonight? Oh, here's a family. There's a family. Here's a family. We took a church one time and the Spirit of the Lord began to move in the church. People were being saved. To begin to be saved, then some came to us. This was an oil field town. And they told us, said, their company's transferring us. This company's transferring us. I was driving in from work one day. praying about it. People were telling me, said, this family over here used to go to our church. That family used to go to our church. Oh, Brother Sheffield, if we could just get everybody in that used to come to church, we'd have the church house full. We'd have to build a new auditorium. I was praying one day as I was driving in from the job, Lord, can you not get a hold of those people and bring them back in? And God said, don't try to build on something that used to be. I'm the God that can give you more people than you can put in a building, and I don't have to recall other people. I'm telling you today, there's too many churches that are living in the shadow of Eden that are remembering when the house was full, but we've compromised. We've compromised. And we said, well, it's okay, we're paying the bills. How many times have you heard that? Oh, I've heard it in board meetings over and over again. Brother Sheffield, we're doing okay. And I like to ask them, compared to what? What are we comparing ourselves to do? Listen, saints of God, God intends for his people to do more than just okay. Amen. Can you say, man, God intends for us to do more than just okay. God intends for us to live in the blessings of Eden, in the house of God. We don't have to walk in the shadows of the things past and say, oh God, I wish it was like it was then. No, no. 10,000 times no. We can have the wonderful Spirit of God moving in the church today. You don't have to remember when. Sister, I remember when. Amen. I've told people a lot of times, I was raised in church. I remember waking up, Sister Womper, and people dancing all around me. Saints of God stomping the old cracks in the floors and the dust rising up from the floors. I woke up a many time. I've told a congregation a many time, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd had my brain stomped out when I was a baby laying on a pallet in the floor. I know those times. Hallelujah. I know they're real, but folks, that's not what I'm praying for today. I'm praying for greater things in God. Can you shout amen? I'm believing a God that says, you don't have to live in the shadow of Eden. You don't have to live what you once knew. You can have it revived in your spirit and greater than that today.
I'll have to agree with what one man said. Brother, when you were born in the fire, the smoke is never enough. The smoke is never enough, and that's all I see today. I see a lot of smoke screens of what used to be in Pentecostal churches. Amen. I see a lot of people that are peeping over the gates and saying, oh, I wish we could go back into that. I'm telling you, if we just had a little touch of that, if we just had a little move of this, if we just had a little move of that, you know what God is saying? Break down the barriers, and I'll give you the desires of your heart today. Listen to me, folks. There is a reason that the church is living in the shadow of Eden today, and the reason is we've compromised. We went somewhere the wrong way, and when God comes by, passes by for a visit, we're not there. Adam knew the Lord was coming by. He knew the Lord would be there. And yet he committed sin and he hid himself. We're living in a religious world today. Believe it or not, America is a religious nation. But I'm going to tell you something that may upset you, but I trust it doesn't. Religious people are notorious people. I had far rather have a hard-hearted sinner mad at me than a religious person. I sincerely mean that. Because a sinner person will go so far to get even with you. But a religious person will break down every wall and every barrier to get even with you and embarrass you and shame you in any way they can. I know I've been the victim in the past. I know what I'm talking about today. God help us. This is the reason that we're living in the shadows of the blessings of God today, is because we're allowing too much to come through the doors of the church. Come on and shout with me tonight. We're allowing too much of this and too much of that. Lord, help us to today that we can break these barriers and get God back in the church today and get revival back in the church today that God wants us to have in 1999. All I've ever known all of my life is church. That doesn't mean I was good all my life. No, I am not saying that. I'm not saying that I've been the best all of my life. But brother, I could always look back on what mom and dad taught me. And you don't know how this child's heart would yearn for the things that was once the blessings of God. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? How our hearts would yearn. I've heard my dad talk about brush arbor days. And brother Wampler, when I was a kid growing up, I used to say to myself, I'd like to see some of those days. Amen. When they had grove service before the main service, that's when they went out in the groves and the thickets and they prayed till the fire of God fell. And Dad said, son, I've seen the grove services last longer than the main services because things happen in those prayer times. I'm telling you, folks, if we stop praying, God will stop moving.
As a matter of fact, you pardon me, please. I'm not being rude, but I'm just a little bit surprised that I don't see people coming to this church through the day praying. I mean that. You see, I do my praying at home. That's good. I'm glad that you do. That's important. I realize some of you can't get out every day. But I'm really surprised out of a number of this congregation that there's not somebody in God's house praying at some time during the day. I'm touched, I'm moved by this today, folks. No wonder we're living in the shadow of Eden today. No wonder our lives are bound by the spiritual forces of hell. No wonder we're looking over the fence today and say, I wish it was like it was in 1958. God forbid it today. Let's give these young people something to look back on if the Lord doesn't come and say, I want it to be like it was in 1999 in First Assembly of God when Brother Wolf was pastoring there. I want to see that kind of move again. And the Lord drove them out of the garden. He guarded the tree of life because he said, we cannot afford for man to get in here and to eat of this tree of life. We're going to have a problem on our hands. Listen to me, folks. When we get in the flesh, God knows he can't have us hanging around and trying to take care of business in his house. God is going to say, I'm going to have to either save them or get them out of there. And if they don't come willingly, I'm not going to force them to. But if they're not going to get right with God, then they're going to have to leave. Listen to me. And I have seen many of them in the churches that we've pastored in the past that when the glory of God began to fall, I've had them to come and tell me, Brother Sheffield, I don't like what's going on in the church today. And I don't mind telling them, then you don't like what God does in the midst of his people. I want you to know today that we need to get out of the shadow of the blessings of God. We need to get under the spout where the glory is coming out. Amen. And get it involved in our spirits. Get this thing in the depths of our soul today. Get out of the shadows and get out where the glory of God's shining, where people are being blessed and stirred. One man said it so well. Stop asking God to bless what you're doing and start doing what God is blessing. And I thought that was so eloquent in speech. Stop asking God to bless what I'm doing for you, Lord, and look around and see what God's doing. Let him lead you into what he's doing and start doing those things. Amen. I was reading after one pastor this week. And he said, I'm one to believe that if it isn't working, change it. If it isn't working, do something with it.
I'll tell you, I'm tired of these Sunday nights, Sunday morning and Sunday nights, and you pull, you fight, you do everything just to get an amen out of people. I mean that. And I'm not saying that I'm better than and that I shouldn't do that. But what I'm saying today is, saints of God, if we pray at home through the day, or if we get in the church through the day and get a hold of God, I'll guarantee you that you and I will get out of the shadows of what used to be, and we'll get into what's happening now in the church. I recommend that when you pray, come to the church and pray, because when the phone rings, it won't be any of your business, see? Amen. When it rings at home, you feel like it's your business. You have to get up and answer it. But if you come here, you say, well, what if someone else comes in to pray? What difference should that make? I told you last night, if any two of us get down here and agree together, it's going to happen like we've prayed for in the name of the Lord. Let's get out of the shadow of Eden today. Let's get out of the shadow of the blessings of God. Let's get into something that we know God is blessing today. God's still calling people to be instruments. God's still calling people that are yielding to Him to do His work. I'll tell you, there's no church in the world like this church. Not long ago, I put on our sign out in front of our church, this is the place. I got a little ribbing from a man about that. For see, I'd just gotten the pulpit, and I told him, this is what I think about this place, that there's no place just like this place, anywhere near this place, so this must be the place. And he said, I want you to put that on the sign. I said, well, I didn't have room for all that conglomeration, so I just put, this is the place. I don't know how many people I thrilled by it, but that one old gentleman was thrilled that I'm going to the place. I'll tell you, folks, you get the fire burning in here, and those out there are going to come and see. I remember when, and you pardon me for reminiscing, but I remember when, brother, we were in an old tent revival in Seagraves, Texas, and I'm telling you, our tent was next to a horse lot, and when the wind got out of the west, which it blew nearly all the time, when it got out of the west, brother, that thing smelled like a horse lot. It smelled awful. And I remember when services would start, there would be just a few scattered people, and people would start coming in, you see. I remember whenever they'd pull up in front, these men of our community would pull up in the front, and they'd sit in their car with their head leaned out the window, and they'd listen to a few people sing while my mama played the guitar, the only music that we had. Brother, we could sing I'll Fly Away, and after a while, somebody would say, I feel like I'm going to. Amen. And somebody would dance, and the old dust would fly. Everything would go around. But you notice, after a while, I noticed the men. They stood out beside the car. They sat on the fenders of their car. It wasn't long till they were sitting on the back seat, Brother Wampler. God got a hold of people there in that place. And it wasn't long till the pastor was giving the invitation. And those men that sat in the car were in the altar weeping their way to Calvary. We weren't living in a shadow of something else. We were experiencing Eden in the church services. You can have it here. You can have it here. But do you have any idea what it's going to take? And it's going to take much more than saying, I just don't think I can. You know what the problem is with church people today and a lot of pastors? We point out so many things we can't do. I preached a message to our congregation just not long ago. Don't let what you can't do interfere with what you can do. And a lot of times we get to majoring on minors, and we forget the majors that God's put in our life. Amen. I love good music. I grew up in a family where we used to play music. I used to fall asleep at the guy's feet playing the guitars. My uncle was the only one in the country that had an amplifier. I remember laying in front of that amplifier and just going to sleep. It wasn't all religious music. I remember some of the old songs they used to play. Amen. The Wildwood Flower, Under the Double Eagle. Oh, I used to sit and watch my uncle play that. And I used to say, oh, maybe someday I'm going to be able to pick like that. I didn't realize it would be for Jesus someday. I'm telling you, I'm tired of living in the shadows. I'm tired of hearing what's going on in Florida. Can you shout with me tonight? I'm tired of hearing revival over here and revival over there. I'm tired of people chasing revivals in spots. God, give us a sweeping revival today in this church. Amen. God, get us out of the shadows today and get us in the light of revival that God wants us to have. I've got to say this, and I'm going to say it in all due respect to everybody here. You don't get blessed of God by spasmodic attendance in God's house. Do you know God blesses the faithful? I see more in the past 5 years in the ministry God's called me to. God's led me into more in the past 5 years in the depth of things than in all my ministry put together. I mean that. And I was visiting with one of my fellow ministers not long ago about that, a few years ago, and he said, Brother Sheffield, the Lord is leading me into a depth that I've never been in my ministry. And I'd just been reminded of that in the altar just a few days before. And I said, Brother, so strange that you would say that how the Lord led me to understand that's what He's doing in my life. I said, I've wondered a few times, Brother Womper, why didn't God do this 10 years ago? And my pastor friend said, because God knew He couldn't trust you with it 10 years ago. Now you're older and wiser. And He can give you the things that you've sought for all these years. You know what I'm finding? You know what I'm finding out in God? I'm finding more of a reality in the Word of God than I ever did in my life. Every morning when I pick that Bible up in my office, Brother Wampler, and start reading it, I find something in there that sends chills through my spirit like it never has before. And read a little farther and it sends a fire down through my spirit like it never has before. I'm telling you, God's calling a church out of the shadows. Would you shout with me tonight? God's calling a church out of the shadows today, saying, come unto me, and I'll give you rest for your souls. I'll give you the fire that you want in your spirit. Never will God bless the cold deadness that's gripping the spiritual world today. But God is blessing those that are stepping up and say, I don't care. I don't care. It don't make me any difference. They may laugh at me because of the vehicle that I drive and the clothes that I wear and tell me if I was a child of God, I'd have more. I wouldn't have to worry about paying my bills. They can say that all they want to. I still know in whom I believe. Amen. I may never fly a Learjet. I may never ride in a limo. I may never stay in a Hilton hotel. But brother, there's a day coming that I'm going to walk through the gates of heaven and down the streets of gold. And I'm going to walk in front of a mansion that God's designed just for Perry Sheffield. Amen. And I won't need the limos. I won't need the Learjets then. I want to be in the sunshine of His glory. Don't you? Get out of those shadows today. Get in it where God's working. God has a place for you in the church. Get rid of the things that are keeping us from where we need to be in God. I know it's time for me to hush already. But I'm going to remind you something the Apostle Paul said. He said, brethren, laying aside what? Every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. There are people that have allowed finances to drive them in the shadows. Do you know what I'm saying tonight? That have driven them into the shadows and they can't get out and worship God anymore. They've let their health drive them into the shadows and they can't worship God anymore. They've let a lifestyle drive them into the shadows. Now listen to me. Please understand what I'm going to say. Your values on life may not be my values. Huh? That's why we're all different. Preachers have said, I couldn't drive up to a fellowship meeting in a pickup like you do. Why can't you? Huh? Well, God means for preachers to drive cars. Where does he say that? Values. The reason I'm driving a pickup is because that's all that's left. I mean that. When my wife and I came down to a Fleetwood Brougham Cadillac or a pickup, and guess which one we got rid of? But I'm glad those things don't affect my experience in God today. Your values may not be my values, but when we get in God's house and get out of the shadows of it all, that's what's important tonight. Amen. That's what's important. Would you bow your head? Father, tonight, I know we're a people that you've called and that you've ordained in your spirit to follow your leadership and your direction today. Lord, I want to pray for a people tonight that perhaps they've let situations drive them into the shadows of the blessings of the Lord today. Oh God, and it's been so long since we've been in the sunlight and the glory of God. We'd squint your eyes at the very glory of God. But Lord, Lord, I believe in this altar service tonight, you're going to draw people out of the shadows and you're going to draw us into the marvelous light of the Spirit of God. And we're going to hear what thus saith the Lord this evening, and we're going to follow you. Now, Lord, compel us all to seek you in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar this evening. Let's find our place in the Lord. Would you do that? Let's come this evening and let the Lord bring us out of the shadows maybe that we've been living in, and that we tonight can have the glorious move of the Lord in our life. Would you come and seek the Lord tonight? Hallelujah.